Well, good morning again, all right? Beautiful. I mean, just singing to the Lord, praising the Lord. It's good to be here as we celebrate the Lord, and in a little while, we're going to remember what the Lord has done, and we're going to obey the Lord as we have our communion service here in a little while. But the last 2 weeks, we have been in the book of Haggai, and we're going to take a break from that this week as it is Communion Sunday. Then next week, as Pastor Aaron will be back, he'll be jumping back into Galatians, the Spirit Walk. So hopefully you've been able to save up all of your grace notes. We thank Taylor for putting those together every week. Be looking back through your grace notes in Galatians, so that way when Pastor Aaron resumes next week, you'll be right where he left off. This morning, it is Communion Sunday. And what a special time communion is. Amen? Amen, absolutely. Communion is special because we get to obey the Lord, and we never want to overlook just how special it is that we get to obey the Lord, that the Lord has chosen us. And being obedient and pleasing to Him and bringing Him glory should be our heart attitude. That should be what we desire to do. It isn't a, well, I have to be here for that, I have to do this, but our hearts should want to be here, should want to partake, should want to serve the Lord, should want to be obedient to Him and the command that He's given us. Because He did give us this command, but it was given for a reason, as we're going to see as we move through this morning. But the Lord's commands and what He asks us to do, they're always good. They're always beneficial for us. Truly, the Lord knows better in our lives than we do. His ways are always best, and we've seen that a little bit in Haggai. We have also seen in Haggai that the Lord's presence is with His people, and that the Lord and the people, through the Lord's strength, they're called to be strong, they're called to be courageous, and they're called to remember what the Lord has done. And that's what we're going to be doing this morning. All of these things that we've seen in Haggai the last few weeks will be necessary to keep in mind as we go through this morning. Because something else that I find special about communion is that the truth of God's word, and specifically what we see revealed about who God is, right? The truth of God's word is always amazing, is it not? Amen. The truth doesn't change. And that's what I love about it. Because in a world that's pushing all sorts of different things, our culture, all these different falsities in our nation, in our culture, it is always encouraging and is always affirming that we can go right back to God's word, and we know that God does not change and His truth does not change. It is the only truth. Amen? And the truth has not changed since the last time we gathered for communion. And it won't change before the next time if the Lord doesn't return before then, which we always, you know, if the Lord returns, and I think what we'll be celebrating with Him in glory is even better than what we'll be doing today. The truth doesn't change, God doesn't change, and because of that, every time that you read the Word of God, you should read and rest confidently knowing that what you are reading, it's true. It's absolutely true. Doesn't matter if it's the first time or the thousandth time you read it, it is still true, and it still should have that effect in our lives. We still should have that desire in that heart that this is the 500th time I'm reading this, or the first. Praise the Lord, I love the Lord. And what we're going to be seeing this morning, we look at every communion, but the truth I want us to really focus in on this morning is this truth: God delivers. God is a deliverer, amen? We see it all throughout Scripture. And as we prepare our hearts for our communion service a little bit later, let this truth be an encouraging reminder for you: God delivers His people. Don't let the fact that God is a deliverer, and that maybe you've read what we're going to see this morning, and that you've heard these truths before, don't let that become stale in your life. But consistently and constantly bring it to mind over and over, because God delivering His people is a magnificent truth, is it not? Yeah. Amen. As we will see, God not only delivers now, but He has always delivered His people. We're going to be looking at a common account, a common narrative in the Old Testament this morning, and then we're going to do some biblical tracing through the Word of God before ultimately arriving at why we are here and why we partake and obey the Lord in communion. This morning, our message is titled, "The Lord Who Delivers," because He truly does He not? Amen. Let's go to Him in prayer as we open up this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise You that we can be here this morning. Lord, we do thank you that, as we see this morning, Lord, you have delivered your people from the beginning, Lord, and you still deliver now. And Lord, now it's through Jesus Christ and what he has done, Lord, but even how you still work in our lives today, Lord. And we know from your word, we know because of what you have given us, Lord, that for those who know you, who have put their faith in you, Lord, there is a future glory that awaits, Lord, far beyond anything that we can understand or imagine right now. Lord, but we know it's coming. Lord, so I pray that this morning as we open up your word, Lord, the truth of your word, Lord, will reach us, it will transform us, Lord. And I pray that we have such a passion for you, such a heart for you, Lord, that regardless of how many times we've read your word before or read these truths, Lord, that it still hits us this morning like it's the first time. Because that's what your word does, Lord. It is living and active, and we should always, always, always love you more after encountering and reading your word. Lord, we love you. We give this time to you this morning, Lord, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. If you want to open up your Bibles with me, if you will, to Exodus 12. And these verses will be on the screen. Well, this is a pretty common account in the Old Testament. It's a pretty pivotal moment. So Exodus 12, verses 1 through 13. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's households, a lamb for each household.' Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them. According to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs, along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning. But whatever is left of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." So here we have the institution of the Passover. We know that this event becomes a picture of what Christ will later do, but it was also very important at the time for God's people, the Israelites. Because we know that the people at this point had spent hundreds of years in bondage in the land of Egypt. But the Lord is about to deliver them. You will see in Exodus 12:14 that this was thus to be a memorial and a permanent ordinance moving forward of what God is soon to do. In fact, verse 14, "Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance." Then if you get down to Exodus 12, verse 42, you get the reason why the Lord tells the people that this is to be a memorialized occasion. Exodus 12, 42, "It is a night to be observed for the Lord for having brought them from the land of Egypt. This night is for the Lord to be observed by all the sons of Israel throughout their generations." You also see in Exodus 12, verses 24 through 27, right, you get the reason behind this observance, right? This was to be a memorialized occasion. This is a very important moment in the Old Testament and in the history of God's people. It becomes such an important occasion for the people of God that the exact word for Passover will be used 79 more times in the Word of God, over 74 different verses. So there's repetition there, right? And when there's repetition, there means This is important. This is going to be something important as we move forward. It becomes such a consistent and important concept all throughout Scripture, either in regards to God's people keeping and observing the Passover, or in reference to Jesus being the Passover lamb in the New Testament. We ultimately know, as we read forward in Exodus, that the people do leave the land of Egypt. They get to the Red Sea, and then God does something miraculous when they get to the Red Sea, does he not? He delivers his people even then. And then you'd have other feasts and other festivals that would also be established to continually bring to remembrance for the people just what the Lord had done for them. Now, we've seen the last couple weeks in Haggai, why are there so many memorials? Why do the people have to be reminded so many times of what the Lord has done for them? Because we forget. We should never forget what the Lord has done. Amen? Amen. Exodus, therefore, becomes a great example of how the Lord provides a way, how he delivers. In fact, the book's very name, Exodus, literally translates as way out. God provides this way out. He is the one who provides the way. Amen? Well, let's flash back to the Passover account, right, when he institutes it. Because there are three quick notes that I believe are important that we want to make note of here during this Communion Sunday. The first note is this. You see in Exodus the offering without blemish. The offering without blemish. If you look at Exodus 12, verse 5, your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. What were the people to do? They were to select an unblemished sacrifice in order for the sacrifice to be acceptable. This is part of the ordaining of it. But where else do we get the unblemished sacrifice, unblemished lamb parallel? If you go to 1 Peter 1, verse 19, it says, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. The lamb unblemished, Jesus Christ. As we know, and we know he is often referred to as the Lamb of God. In fact, John says in John 1:29 that Jesus is the Lamb of God who what? He takes away the sins of the world. Right? He is the offering without blemish. That's the first important note, the offering without blemish. He became this offering. Just as the Israelites were to have an offering that was unblemished, we know that Jesus is the unblemished Lamb of God, the sacrifice. That's the first note, right? The offering had to be without blemish. The second note from the Passover account that we want to make note of is the lamb was to be killed. The lamb was to be killed. Well, obviously, right, we read that, but look, verse 6 in Exodus 12 tells us this very thing. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Obviously, in order for a sacrifice to be sacrificed, it had to be killed. This was certainly true in the Passover account as it was instituted, but it was also true of Jesus, who we have already established and we know is to be the final sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God. It was his blood that was poured out on Calvary. But check out Jesus' very words in John 12:27. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. See, Jesus had a purpose for coming, as we see in John 12:27. And at this point in John, his hour was approaching. The hour that he would be delivered over, the hour that he would suffer, in the hour that he would ultimately die on the cross, right? His purpose, his hour was coming. Therefore, his purpose for coming was approaching, a purpose that could only be fulfilled and completed through his death on the cross. So just as the Passover lamb had to be killed, Jesus had to be killed. There was no other way, right? This is the second note, right? You have the lamb that was to be killed. It's the parallel in the Exodus Passover account. It's the parallel with Jesus Christ, as we see in the New Testament. The third note from the Passover account that we want to make note of is the application of the blood. the application of the blood. In order for a house in Egypt, the Israelites, in order for it to truly be passed over, the blood had to be applied. If you go back a couple years ago, Pastor Aaron was going through a series called Moses and the Plan of God. And he has a message on that series called Moses Under the Doorpost. And that message, he references the people had to apply the blood of the lamb, right? They could find an unblemished lamb, they could kill the lamb, but if they did not apply the blood of the lamb to the doorpost, they would not be passed over. Because in verse 7 of Exodus 12, we read, "Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it." Then later on in Exodus 12, Moses will tell the elders this. "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts, and none of you shall go outside the door of the house until morning.'" See, the command was to take the blood, to put it on the doorposts. The blood had to be applied, which was necessary because we're told in the very next verse, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you." All of the elements of the Passover were important. They were given for a reason. But this one could not be skipped over for this very reason. Because the blood had to be applied. Like, this was going to be the sign. We know even today, Hebrews 9:22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. So the blood, even now, has to be shed for there to be forgiveness of sins. Well, the blood of Christ has been shed, and the forgiveness of sins is possible. But one must put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. In fact, Ephesians 1 tells us that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. That blood has to be applied. There's no other way to put it. Each person has to make the choice on if they believe that Jesus paid the penalty for their sins by the shedding of his blood on Calvary. Each person has to make that decision. Do I believe this? Do I want to put my trust and my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? The blood has to be applied now, just as it had to be applied in the Passover account. If you look at three of the important notes from the Passover account, you see a parallel with Jesus Christ. The unblemished lamb, the lamb that had to be killed, but the blood of the lamb that has to be applied. So we then know the Passover then took place, and it became a memorial that was to be permanently observed once the Lord delivered them out of Egypt. This is something that they would come back to over and over and over again, to remember what the Lord had done for them, how the Lord had delivered them. It really is to recall a great work of the Lord as he provided a way out for his people. What I love, even down the specific elements of that ordinance, was designed to bring to mind certain things to the people. They were delivered from their bondage to the Egyptians because why? The Lord delivers. We are here today to obey the Lord and to remember his deliverance as it now pertains to those who know Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I said at the beginning that one of the most special things about communion for me is that the truth is just so special. It's such a special truth to think about the Lord's ministry on our behalf. And we know the truth regarding communion, right? We've heard the truth, especially if you've been around for communion before. But if you are new with us this morning, we're going to have a brief breakdown what exactly we are remembering this morning. And then once we're in the communion service, obviously we'll go into more specific detail about each part. But what does the truth of how the Lord delivers mean for us today? First, we know because of the cross, because of Calvary, Jesus has paid the penalty for sin. Amen? Jesus has paid the penalty for sin. His body broken, his blood shed, this is his past ministry on our behalf. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, literally. He delivered the payment that we could never pay, and now we don't have to. Matthew 26, Jesus tells his disciples what his body and what his blood represent. Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." See, Jesus connects the bread and the cup to his body being broken and his blood being shed. Now, we know that this night, this meal was taking place during the Passover. Yet another connection to what we saw earlier. So when we take the bread and the cup, we know we are remembering the Lord who delivers the truth that through Jesus, he bore our sins on the cross. He paid that penalty, and now we are justified. Amen? 1 Peter 2:24 says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." Our sin, but his body, his wounds, his punishment, his payment equals our healing, our deliverance, our life through Jesus Christ. In Romans, the Apostle Paul references more about what the blood of Jesus truly means for us. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." Praise to Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. His blood equals justification equals saved from the wrath of God. Just as it was crucial that the Israelites applied the blood of the lamb, of the unblemished lamb in Exodus, in order for their houses to be passed over, the blood of Christ must be applied today in our lives. Praise the Lord that when we take the bread and the cup today, we are remembering this past work of Jesus Christ. How he paid the penalty for sin. How it was his work on the cross. Nothing that we do, but all because of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord truly is a deliverer. He is also delivering us from the power of sin. He is delivering us from the power of sin. We know this as sanctification, the Lord's present ministry on our behalf. In Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul says in verse 25, "Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." I know we reference these verses every communion, but you do get the picture of what the Lord is doing and how this present ministry of his on our behalf is so special. Is anybody here perfect today? Anybody here without sin? Therefore, the sanctification that the Lord provides is extremely important in our lives today. First, we always talk about his past work, but as he works in the present, we are being delivered. In this case, we are being delivered from the power of sin. Right? Look at those verses again. "So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." This is what Christ is doing. He is setting apart his church. It's like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:11. These verses aren't up here, but it says, "Such were some of you," right? There's a list of sins that Paul goes through. He says, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. You were that. But you have been brought out of that. You have been sanctified now. You have been justified now. You are being washed. You were all of those things. You were in a life of sin. You were apart from the Lord. But now you have been brought out of that, and now you are this through Jesus Christ. If you think about the word deliverance, it literally means the action of being rescued or set free. We saw this a few weeks ago during Pastor Aaron's Four Freedoms message on July 4th, but check out this verse in John 8:36. If this doesn't cause a shout of praise, I don't know what does. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. Amen. Oh, there is a delivering that is happening, but it gets better. I don't know how, but word of God, I'm telling you. Romans 6:17 and 18. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Don't you just love that phrase? Having been freed. The Lord is working, my friends. The Lord is working. We know he is a deliverer, and that shows up in the past ministry, but it is also evident by the present, his present work in our lives, our sanctification. And during foot washing today, we remember this, right? We remember our sanctification. We think about our sanctification, how the Lord is actively delivering us from sin's power. Jesus shows this that night when he washes Peter's feet. And he tells Peter that this washing, this sanctification is very necessary. We will remember the Lord as a deliverer, delivering us from the power of sin during foot washing. He is delivering from the power of sin, his present ministry, his deliverance. Finally, we know one day that we will be delivered fully and we will be in glory. The Lord will deliver us from the presence of sin once and for all. We call this glorification, and is represented by the love feast that we will partake in today. After all, Jesus and the disciples were having a meal that night, and we see through many examples in the New Testament of how that's what the church practiced, right? They gathered together, they had a meal, as they took the bread and the cup, as they washed one another's feet, because this meal gives us a look ahead to the future. This meal, as it is described in Scripture in glorification, really gives us a clear picture of what it means to be delivered from sin's very presence. Look at the words of Revelation 19. Every time I read these verses, I think, whew, my imagination gets bigger and bigger, and I still don't think it ever comes close to what this day will actually be like. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. We know from the word all of the places, all of the examples of how and why we take place, why we partake in this meal. But when you really think about being delivered from the presence of sin, what do you think of? We've never been delivered from we've never lived without the presence of sin, but one day, because of Christ, these true words of God, that will happen. I guess the words that I think of are actually right here in the text. Words such as rejoice, glad, glory, fine linen, bright and clean, righteous, saints, blessed, invited, lamb, true words of God. See, all those words all point to something beautiful, something magnificent, something amazing. And one day, all of that will take place when we're with the Lord in glory. One day, this will be a reality. One day, the Lord will deliver us from the presence of sin, our glorification. We know that the Lord delivers. It says right here in these verses, these are the true words of God. You don't need to look anywhere else for truth. Just look right here in the Word of God, and you can be assured these true words of God, it's going to happen. Amen. The Lord delivers. He delivered the Israelites, and he is still in the business of delivering today. It is evident in the past ministry of Jesus, our justification, and his present ministry, our sanctification, and finally, his future ministry, our glorification. But ultimately, the Lord who delivers, what better evidence, what better picture than our salvation? Amen. As we get ready for our communion service, let's give praise to the Lord that he is a deliverer, that his people are delivered through what Jesus Christ has done. Give thanks to him that we have been delivered from sin, from its penalty, its power, and one day, its presence. Out with that, in with the glory. And then as we do our foot washing, as we partake in the meal, and as we take the bread and the cup, remember the Lord. Remember his work. That you're only here today because of what Jesus Christ has done, because he has chosen you. I'm reminded of the words of Nehemiah in Nehemiah 14. I love these verses because of what Nehemiah says as he was looking over us, he was surveying the work that needed to be done. He says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And I don't know about you, because the Lord's great and awesome, I think we should remember the Lord. I think we should remember what he's doing. And guess what? We get to obey the Lord faithfully today. As the praise team comes up, as we do just that, as we obey the Lord, as we obey the command that he's given us. Obviously, we know Jesus instituted the command to do this that night. Let's remember the Lord who delivers. Amen. Do you believe that the Lord delivers? Are you ready to apply the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you ready to obey him? Show him the honor and praise that he is due, the glory that is due his name? I'm so, so happy that we do this to celebrate the Lord, to remember his work. So we're going to do that today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, your past work, our justification. Lord, we thank you for your present work, your present ministry, our sanctification as we are delivered from the power of sin, Lord, daily in our lives. Lord, and then one day, thinking about what it will be like to be with you in glory, Lord, the marriage supper of the Lamb, our glorification, Lord. Whether it's past, present, or future, Lord, our hope, our trust, our life is totally built in you, Lord. Lord, we praise you for that. We praise you for your true words, your word. Lord, what better, more confidence? These are the true words of God. Lord, we need not look elsewhere, Lord, but to your word and to who you are. Lord, we love you. And as we sing praises to you this morning, I pray that we remember you, Lord, who is great and awesome. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.